Thank you that we can come together today. Just open our minds and our hearts. Enable us to grasp, Lord, the truth that sets us free. Lord, enable us to appropriate everything you've done for us and not to allow our own ideas and thoughts to keep us from hearing the truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's interesting, the teaching I'm doing on Thursday night has been on temptation. And really that's in the area that we all face every day, every moment. And the temptation is really the biggest part, the biggest thing about it is to actually to recognize what is a temptation. Because the enemy doesn't come with a pitchfork and horns and so on, so that to show you that who he is. He comes dressed up like an angel of light. He comes dressed up with religious clothes. Comes up, you know, with your own ideas, with everybody else's ideas, and you just can't even see it. He's wearing clothes that make him look like everything else. And so, you know, the most difficult part about temptation is to start with, to see that that's the temptation. And then there comes the second part, to be able to make the right decisions, you know, to know what you're choosing, to know what you're doing. But, in a way, if you already identify that this is a temptation, then half of the battle is done. Then you have to question a question of not giving in, and this question of standing on the word, this question of having the word there. But many people have the word, and they don't see what's happening. And I'm not talking about people in the world. I'm talking about Christians. It's so, I often say this, and it's, I've seen that happening all the time. People rather die than accept that they're wrong. They have the wrong theology. They have the wrong idea. They just rather die. And they stick with it. And it's really sad to see because, you know, all the suffering that is brought about by the stubbornness of our mind. Instead of just yielding and listening to what God is telling us, we have the tendency to be going to do things our own way because we think we are right. And the first step, I believe, to get anywhere is the thing we sang today. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. People are not really seekers of the kingdom. And because they are not seekers of the kingdom, they are seeking other things that actually blind them from being able to see what's going on. And some of these things may even be not that bad. But the fact that they're not bad doesn't mean anything because in themselves, they are not going to be productive. They're not going to be help you. They're not going to bring about the changes that God wants to do. It's amazing. Just the last few days, you know, I've been reading scriptures, and the things that have been coming up from them is a continuous repetition of God giving us 100% guarantee of his promises. Not just in one scripture, but it's all over the place. And people don't trust God. Believers don't trust God. When instead, he is the only one that can be trusted. You can't trust yourself. You cannot trust yourself because you are limited in your understanding. You are limited in your experience. You are limited in the ability to see what's going on. You are distorting and biasing the things you see because of your past experience. And we had to learn to let go of that to be able to receive what he wants to do with us that is beyond what we can imagine. It's so amazing what he wants to do with us. The promises of God, as it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, is glorious promises beyond our expectation, imagination, anything. And we are afraid that he's taking away fun out of our life. When instead, you know, the one that designed us to seek for pleasure and fun is him. Amen. He designed us so that we want to be happy. And his plan for us is to actually make us happy. His plan for us is to make us fulfill, happy, healthy, strong, prosperous, everything. But in his terms. Because those are the things that are going to work in your favor. See, he knows better. Can you say God knows better? Than I do? He does. He knows first of all, he's been around for a longer time. Wouldn't you say? And he has much more experience. He has seen lots of you and I going through things. You know the way things work. And if we listen, then we learn to sometime realize that the things we think are not really that smart. All right. So, if you remember, the secret of success is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to 12. It says it all there. And really, I preached about last week, but I need, this is a starting point for today because this is essential. That scripture has to be so ingrained into your brain and into your heart that there should be no questions about it. I mean, either God is a liar or he's saying the truth. Amen. If he's a liar, don't waste your time reading the Bible. Simple as that. You know, some people take the Bible and take it, yes, but, and then they water it down, and by the end they finish watering it down, means nothing anymore. When instead, some of the statements are completely categorical, are solidly established. No if and buts. They are strongly stating some things that other, you see, they are said so strongly that if they are not true, then nothing is true. As simple as that. So either you believe what it's saying, or you don't believe what it's saying, then don't believe anything because you had no reason to believe anything. You see, most of the people believe only up to a certain point. And this is why they get only very little results. Because you cannot get results by just believing a bit. Hello. Either you believe it, or you don't believe it. I mean, either you believe one thing, you always believe something. Either you believe this, or you believe the opposite of this. You cannot be there floating from one thing to another and expecting to get things out of it. James chapter 1 says very clearly, if you are waving like the waves of the sea, don't expect to get anything from God. And then you wonder why people don't get anything. Well, because they are wavering there. They are just floating around. They're just, well, this is convenient, this is not convenient, this I like it, this I don't like it. Sorry, you cannot pick and choose. You have to read the word, and then you have to see what it means, and then you either you agree or disagree. Don't fool yourself when you don't agree with it, to say that you agree with it. Because the very moment when you do that, you are actually deceiving yourself. It's better you say, I don't believe it. At least you are honest. I'm going to show you actually that this is the truth. This is why some people, when they start to try to believe God, instead of getting good results, they get bad results. I'll give you an example. You know, when you want to do something really badly, like for example, you know, you want to throw a piece of paper onto the basket, and you know, you try there, and you just try it, just really trying hard, and you never get in. You just look around, you throw it, boom, then goes in, because there is no effort whatsoever. Why? Because there is that fear of failing that makes you unsuccessful. Make you fail because you are afraid to fail. So what you're actually feeling, I mean, you are trying really hard to succeed because you really don't believe that you're going to succeed. So your faith is really about not succeeding, not about succeeding. What you expect you're going to get, what you believe in your heart is the results that you get. So at the beginning, people that are trying to get stuff from God because they really need it, like for example, healing or whatever other things, they're trying really hard, but they, inside, they're afraid that they're not going to get it. They're going to fail. Hello? And then they wonder why. Sometimes people, they start to try to walk by faith and looks like everything is going worse than before. Why? Because inside them, they are doing the wrong thing. Romans 10:10 says very clearly, if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth. So people start confessing, and the results they're going to get, they actually are going to destroy their faith. Why? Because really they don't believe it with their heart. So what they are doing, each time they confess that, their heart says inside, nah, it's not going to happen. As a result of that, instead of building up their faith, you know, it's going to confirm all the time that it's not going to work. And it's not going to work. And it's not going to work. Doesn't matter how much you're going to confess, you know, until you don't have any more breath. It's not going to work. This is why, you know, when the faith movement started, you know, and there was lots of truth in it. But people didn't understand this principle, and so many of them went bankrupt. And they said, this is all baloney. But it's not baloney. Just read the word and get what it means. It works. Because if it doesn't work, then forget it. You can throw the whole thing away. Either it's true. Either what God says is true or isn't. And if it's not true, he cannot be trusted. Either Jesus is who said he is, or just he was a lunatic, because he was saying he was the Son of God. The fact he is what he said is who he is, and he proved that coming out from the tomb. Hello. So, either it's true, or it isn't. You cannot be on the fence. That's as simple as that. You cannot be on the fence and get results. You cannot be on the fence and make progress spiritually. You remember Revelation chapter 3, what God said? If you're lukewarm, that means, you know, you're nearly not committed, I spew you out. Well, what does he say? Why is he saying spew? He loves us. The thing is, what happens is actually, you know, that we are going to be failing all the time. And the point, you know, we want to have nothing to do with him. Or at least, you know, becomes just a facade, a religion. Religion is a killer. It's our spiritual walk that makes a difference. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight. That means, I don't like the word faith. We are called to walk by what we believe rather than what we see. I think that's much clearer, isn't it? Now what you see, what your senses tell you, you cannot count on that because that changes. But what you believe, if believe the truth, it doesn't change. It's eternal. We have no problem believing physical laws. We believe in gravity. We believe, you know, in many of the laws of physics, you know, momentum and second law of the thermodynamics and all these things that are true. We can believe in that and we have no problem. This is today's religion. But when it comes to believe about spiritual things, we can't do it. But the fact is, you know, just as rigid and as true as the physical law in nature, as there are equivalent laws that are just as rigid and as true all the time in the spirit world. When you understand these laws, the way they operate, you know what to do. You know, because of gravity, you know that you shouldn't go around and lean off a roof because you may fall down. Well, when you understand the way temptation comes, you don't go and put yourself in a situation in which you are going to be tempted. Because if you do, you're stupid. See, but if you are not smart enough to understand that when, you know, the way temptation works, you're going to get yourself into the wrong place at the wrong times, and then sooner or later you're going to fall. This is why it's so important. Number one is to understand the way temptation works. I mean, this is where we fall. One of the way. Okay? So you see, but I want to read from 2 Peter chapter 1, talking about all the list of things, you know, of you giving all diligence and faith and virtue and knowledge and perseverance and so on. You remember that. We talked about that. If you don't remember, get the tape and listen to it. Now, but this verse 8 says, if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren in your, or not unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this is a promise. I mean, this is not a black and, you know, a shady gray kind of a thing. He's saying, you know, if you do these things, you have guarantee 100% that you're going to get the results. You're going to be fruitful. So you want to be fruitful? You know what to do. Simple. It's not that difficult. See, this is one of the law of spiritual success. There are many other ones, but this is one of them. If you understand that there is a process, that this doesn't happen. See, people likes to see the gift in operation and poof, somebody gets healed, somebody get the deliverance, somebody get the stuff like that. This is not the normal way of operation. This is when God, in His goodness, gives extra there to some baby that cannot make it any other way. And has to encourage them to make them go through, because otherwise they're going to go bankrupt. But after they have done that, there's going to be a time in which they have to consolidate or solidify the position. Otherwise they're going to lose it. There is a part we play. We are co-workers with God, the Bible says. That means God expects us to do our side, and He's going to do His side. His side is given in the promises. That's what He tells us He's going to give us. Our side is to line up with the conditions and the different things that He expects us to do so that the promises are manifested. And one of them is really to believe with our heart. That's the basic one. Without that, that's the only way. Without faith, you cannot please God. That means without believing Him, you cannot please Him. And pleasing Him is not that, you know, I'm so happy that He believes me. No, the fact that He's pleased with us means that He gives us the things that He's promised to give us. Hello, you understand what pleasing means? You know, because the manifestation of being pleased with us is that we receive the things He promised. It's so annoying to see believers. They've been believers for many years, and they miss receiving from God things because they do not understand, or they're stuck with some ideas, and they have some wrong theology. There are two religions to do any better. God wants a relationship with us. He wants us to be His family, His children. And Jesus came to show us the way God is. You know, not the way religions depicted Him, not the way people think He is. He's a Father. He's a loving Father that doesn't give us a snake when we call for, ask for a fish. Hello. He's a loving Father. Would you do that as a father or a mother to your child? This is the way God deals with us. Or we have to believe it. So that we believe Him and trust Him and allow Him to do the things He wants to do, because we respond to His direction. If our parents, when we were 2 years old, said, don't cross the street, and you think you know better, and you go and cross the street and get killed, you know, it's not your father's problem. Well, he's going to be suffering for that because he loves you. But it wasn't, he didn't do it. He tried to stop you, but you were too ignorant to understand there was a dangerous thing to do. This is what God does to us all the time. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be, you know, to be prosperous. He wants us to be happy on the bottom line. People distort this stuff and say, oh, you're talking prosperity. I'm not talking prosperity. I'm talking about what God promised us. Beloved, I wish you to be prosperous and be healthy even as your soul prospers. It's not a prosperity message. You don't need a Cadillac, a pink Cadillac, or the stupid things that they say. These are idiotic, the distortion of reality. God wants us to live a life worth living. And He provided the way. He made us able to do that. He created this conditioning by which we can actually experience that. But we have to trust Him enough to make Him our Lord. That means, forget about the religious term, to make Him the one that we trust to get direction, our boss. Okay? When He is able to tell us what to do, He knows better than we do, and so He directs us, and He has given His word. If we don't want to, you don't even need to have any special abilities. Just read His word and allow the Holy Spirit to open it up to you. And He will. If you are seeking. That is, seek ye first His kingdom. Not your pet desires. See, actually, we're going to get this. You're going to get all the extras. See, that's what it says there. That's what Scripture says. All these things shall be added unto you. But we don't believe it, because that, if we would believe it, we will listen. Hello? Our statement of what we believe means nothing. What shows what we believe is our actions. What we do. Want to see somebody believes that it's important to connect with God? You don't need to ask him. See how much time he spends with God daily. And that tells you right away. Doesn't matter what he says, doesn't matter all the stuff that he religiously tries to convey. Doesn't make any difference how much time is spent personally with God in his interaction with him. That tells you how much he really trusts and communes with God and really believes that he is the one that directing him. That's simple as that. Don't need big words and don't need anything. Anyway, the thing I wanted to stress today is the fact that there are so many 100% guarantees that God is going to do what he promised he would do. You know, starting from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you know, verse 20, you know, that the promises of God are yea and amen in him. Now, the important thing is to realize that they're in him, and that doesn't mean that the promises of God are yea and amen because I want them. Okay? See, that's the condition to be in him. That means that to be in him means that what I'm describing here. You know, that connection with him, that relationship with him, so that he can actually guide us and we are listening. Because if we are going our own way, if he says don't go there, it's raining, and you go there, you get wet. All right? Oh, God is going to provide. I see lots of Christians thinking God is going to provide, think that God is the fairy godmother with the little thing and go there and then poof, creates that. God doesn't work that way. You have to be a child to think that way. Fairy tales are stuff for kids, not grown-ups. God can do much more than the fairy tales describe, ever. But the point is, doesn't happen that way. It's happening in our relationship with him. We have a part we play. How many are perfectionists here? I'm not. A perfectionist is not somebody that tries to do the right thing. A perfectionist is somebody who's afraid to do the wrong thing. Yes. Yes. A perfectionist is motivated by fear, not by trying to do the right thing. So, to start with, anything that is motivated by fear is going to produce failure. God doesn't want perfectionists. God wants people that has the courage to make decisions, even being wrong. God prefers you to make the wrong decision than make no decision. Because the wrong decision that you make, he can fix, quite likely, if you did it in the right spirit. But if you do nothing, he can do nothing. Being a Christian is a responsibility. I mean, there are things that God calls us to do that if we don't do it, don't get done. Big things. For our life and the life of people around us. And we have to understand that, cooperate with him, enabling him to work through us, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to work through. This is where all the Great Commission is based on that. God in charging us to go and spread the good news. And it's not just a question of creating religious circles. He's setting people free from the bondage of the world, so that they can have a relationship with him and God can bless them and can bless other people. So you can't get things just for yourself and finish there, because it doesn't work that way. God gives. He's a giver. And only when we start giving the way he gives, then we are going to get. Last week, we were talking about designing your life. See, this is God's plan. Many Pentecostals, they don't get very much done in their life. because they think that because they have to listen to the Spirit, they make no decision whatsoever, and they go all over the place from left to right without ever really having goals, clear goals in their life. When God is a God that works by goals, He had the goal from the very beginning, even before we fell, He was a plan, and He has a plan established, it's going to happen exactly the way He planned it. And if we want to operate like Him, we have to be the same. We have to have goals and be able to achieve the goals that we have, not being just New Year proposition that after 2 weeks are gone. Useless. The more you do that, and the less faith you're going to have. How can you have faith if all the decision you make you don't keep? If what you say you don't do? You can't. Your word means nothing. So if you experience that your word means nothing, why somebody else's word means something? God's words means nothing too, because it's the same as yours. That's your experience. That's the way you see life. This is why Proverbs tells that, you know, you have to commit to things to the point that even it hurts, you do it. Because then, you see, you start developing character. And character makes all the difference. See, why some people are successful in life and some aren't, and some are unsuccessful in some ways and some of the others. You can see there are reasons for that. It's not that it's chance. People in terrible situations, they can change their condition completely. The others that in good situation, they end up having nothing. There is lack of understanding about certain principles that are spiritual principles that produce results. 2 Peter chapter 1 gives quite a bit of the story. But there are other ones that we've been talking about that if you start applying it, you're going to get results. And I want to see people getting results. I want to see people being successful. I want to see people happy with what they're doing and be able to receive from God the things that they need and they want. There are many ways in which God works. There is not just one way. And that depends on what you want is very important. It's a combination of the two. Beginning of the year, we're talking about goals. I'm thinking of maybe putting together a package on that so that systemize, put it together if I find the time. Yes. I know, somebody's looking up. Let me read from you the scripture that actually we've been singing before, and I want to stress something there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. I've been talking about designing your life. See, God doesn't want us to go and be tossed around by their circumstances or by their situation or by the world. You know, He wants us to take charge and be master. That's what Jesus was when He was on earth. He decided what He was going to do. Nothing that happened in Jesus' life happened just like that. He had a plan all the time. One day He was going to a place, you know, as he was going, He would meet the woman with the issue of blood. But He had a plan. If He would be sitting, turning His thumb up on a mountain, He would have not met the woman with the issue of blood. Hello? If Peter and John would not have gone to the temple to pray every day, he would not have the guy with that was lame to do the miracle. They had a plan. God uses that plan to achieve His purposes. And sometimes it's far beyond what you are thinking at the moment. You don't know what's going on. But you have a plan. and you do something. And God uses that something to do what he wants to do. You do nothing, God can do anything. It's not just by meditating. You see, I mean, I've been stressing meditating, and it's, I think that's probably one of the most very important thing to do. But, you know, if you are just meditating and thinking that meditating is going to produce the result, you are wrong. Meditating is writing on your heart what you need to know. And when it's written in your heart, that is going to produce your action. You are going to develop a plan. You are going to start acting. And as you acting, God is going to achieve the purposes. It's not by being a Buddhist monk there and there and chanting away. That's not Christianity. Matthew chapter 6 verse 31 says there. Therefore, do not worry. Can you say do not worry? Saying what I shall eat, or what I shall drink, or what I shall wear. For after all these things, the Gentile, that means, you know, the Gentiles are those that do not know God, seek. For your heavenly Father, you see, is your heavenly Father, that's the things that Jesus stressed, is our God is not just God, he's our heavenly Father. He's a Father to us. He's the one that cares for us more than their fathers down on here. Knows that you need all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So you see, the results of getting all these things and is the fact that we are seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. That's what we have to do. See, that's the purpose. Okay? And then it's not finished there. It says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things, sufficient for the day or your trouble. So the idea, he says, number one, do not worry. Do not say, see, people say, take these scriptures, say, okay, well, you know, I need not to plan anything. Where does it say that we have to not to plan? Nowhere. It doesn't say don't plan. It says don't worry. It's a big difference between the two things. Planning is positive and is determining I'm going to get there. I want this. Some people say they cannot say what they want because they're afraid to make a decision about how are you going to get anywhere if you cannot decide what you want. You have to plan according to this principle, seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. And then all the other things are going to be added. So it doesn't say, do not work. Amen. Hello? Doesn't say, stay there, do nothing, and you expect God to do it. Actually, the word is very clear about that. You know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, says, you know, when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working, but are all busybodies. Now, those are such, we command and exhort through the Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. The idea often is, well, you know, I am depending on God. God is going to do everything. He's going to take care of me. That doesn't say, God doesn't talk about that. God never said that. Doesn't say don't plan. Doesn't say don't just pray and do nothing else. It says, you know, you pray to get direction from God so that you know what to do, and then you do it. That's the way to get results. That's the way to progress. This is not me saying it. If you can see it in the Word of God, you can see it anywhere, because this is so important. See, last week, you remember the project I gave you? What was the project? Anybody remembers that? I gave you a project last week. You remember? It says, you know, the project is to determine what it means to put God first. Do you remember now? Okay, maybe, huh? Okay, well, that kind of is deal with that issue, don't you think? That's what it means. See, you can be just, you can be religious, about church and everything else, and your life be really messed up anyway. It's not being religious that you're getting free. It's by having a relationship with God, who directs you, who helps you, who ministers to you, who makes you grow, he gives you victory. That's how you put God first. That means, you know, you have that relationship going on all the time, because no matter where you go, guess what? God is there. You can't escape from his presence. David said, you know, if I go to hell, your presence is there. That's what we had to learn to do. We had to learn to connect with God on a constant basis. If he's first, he comes first to all the other things. And when we get distracted, well, it's the time when we had to go back there. And it's not a question of flagellating ourselves because we got distracted, because we, our attention span is limited. And more time goes by and the more limited becomes. But the point is, that's not, the important thing is that we keep going back to him, to connect with him, and to receive from him the direction that we need in our life. It's not going through and say the certain prayers and doing some certain things. That's religion from the past. God doesn't want a certain prayer. God wants your attention. He doesn't care about big words. He cares about the open heart. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we just thank you for today. We ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit may guide us this week, that we may, Lord, be open to you, to receive your direction, to receive your anointing, Lord, to receive your wisdom, to know, Lord, the call that we have in our life, and to respond to that call, Lord, that we may come to realize the love that you have for us, the desire that you have to set us free, and Lord, all the things you have done so that we can actually experience the freedom and the victory in our life that you want us to have. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, that it's not just for ourselves. It's for those we come in contact with. It's for those that need to hear the truth. It's for those, Lord, that need to realize that you love them and that you want to help them in their situation, Lord, to strengthen them, to give them a life and a purpose. Because without a purpose, Lord, we just vegetate. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, that we know that you care about each person here in this place, that you love them, Lord, more than we can ever imagine and understand. That the love is so big, Lord, that we are called to respond to that and to allow that to empower us and change us and to make us the way you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.